Your recording's entitled Bel Canto Paganini, in reference to the bel canto style of singing. Tell us, if you would, about that style of singing and how, in your view, it influenced Paganini.
Paganini, his musical language was firmly rooted in his time and place in the early 1800s with the great opera composers like Verdi, Rossini, Bellini, Donizetti. And I actually coached with an Italian opera coach to make sure that I was capturing that flavor properly in terms of my timing and even my approach to tone production. I try to have, you know, less of the bombastic, you know, lush sound of the later Romantic era, but to have more of the delicacy, the facile approach, certainly with moments of intensity, but also with moments of great subtlety.
Paganini is possibly best known for his 24 caprices and his violin concerti. The first work on your Bel Canto Paganini recording is Paganini's introduction and variations on Nel cor più non mi sento. Why did you choose this work as the, I guess you could say, thesis statement, if you will, for this recording?
Nel cor just seemed like the perfect piece to start with because it really, it's like a miniature version of the 24 caprices. It has almost all of his techniques in there, a little bit. It's an incredible, you know, just showcase of what the violin is capable of. And it starts with a wonderful, you know, sort of flamboyant introduction. So it's, you know, begins with a bang and then, you know, you launch from there into the caprices.
It's also nice that it's based on an opera aria by a composer who, you know, in the generation or so before some of the great bel canto composers were born and started sort of soaking in the musical influences around them.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, of course, you know, a lot of what Paganini did compose was variations on various popular tunes. He even made a set of unaccompanied variations on God Save the Queen, but I didn't include those because they didn't fit the Italian flavor that I was going for. But yeah, that was one of his tricks in trade, was making these variations on other people's melodies. But actually, the contemporaries of his time, you know, Rossini is known to have said that if Paganini were to write opera, he would put the rest of us out of business. And that's how highly those guys thought of Paganini as a composer of his own melodies. And, you know, these days we think of him as this virtuoso guy with all of his pyrotechnical tricks and fast flying fingers. But, you know, it was obviously the music that he made that touched people's hearts and caused all those women to swoon, not just the virtuosity.
You used a historical violin bow to make this recording. How did you come to that decision and what kind of experience did it give you of Paganini's music?
Yeah, so I'm very privileged to play a violin, which is from the exact same year and the same maker as Paganini's own violin. So it definitely has something of the voice of what Paganini, you know, preferred, this deep sound, you know, and warmth of tone. But pairing that with a bow that you might refer to as an early modern bow, we sometimes call it a transitional bow. It's made out of Pernambuco wood and curved inwards like the modern concept of bows, but it's not yet as hefty and, you know, and powerful as the later sticks. It's lighter and springier. It gave the music, you know, a real clarity and a real pop, as well as, you know, a lightness of touch with which one doesn't often hear Paganini's music. I think sometimes we just interpret Paganini like it's Vietam or Vinyoski with this more muscular sound, but, you know, based on, you know, my experiments with the bow, that can't have been what Paganini intended because that wasn't the equipment he was using.
Did playing with that particular bow kind of change your experience, I guess, physically playing the caprices or any of the other Paganini works on this recording? I mean, certainly the left hand work is still devilishly challenging, but did the different bow, the sort of lightness in bow, make any aspect of the, I don't know, physical coordination, for lack of a better way of putting it, of actually getting through these pieces any different for you?
Absolutely. So yeah, I talked about how it you know, affects the voice of the violin, but also the technique. For sure, the bow strokes, you know, doing triple stops on an up bow, a lot of the bounces and, you know, some of the string cross techniques do become easier. Not easy, but easier with the earlier style of bow, and they just make more sense. Some of the original bowings that Paganini indicates in his manuscript are frankly a bit mystifying, and you think, well, I could achieve the same thing with a more conventional bowing pattern, but actually with the earlier bow, they're more achievable and they do give a different musical effect than if one did the more obvious solution.
And I guess by way of a final question here, the last piece on your recording is one of your original works, your introduction theme and variations on God Defend New Zealand, which, as you say in your notes, you wrote as a sort of farewell piece for the final concert on your second tour with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. You could have composed a piece for that occasion under the inspiration of any number of composers, or even inspired by no single composer in particular. So why did you choose Paganini?
Well, it seemed a bit like the obvious thing to do because I was, you know, thinking of Paganini's famous variations on God Save the Queen. And New Zealand hadn't existed as a country when Paganini and some of those earlier virtuoso guys were writing various pieces. So, you know, I figured, well, it fell to someone of today to do the job. But it also, you know, just allowed me to capture some fun things, play around with the beautiful melody of the New Zealand national anthem. And I do one thing that Paganini never did. Paganini had this, you know, dastardly difficult trick where he would pluck an accompaniment with the fingering hand while simultaneously bowing a melody. So your left-hand fingers are stopping one note for the pitch of the plucked note, plucking it with another left-hand finger, and then with a third left-hand finger, stopping the pitch that then gets bowed with the bow. It's an incredible coordination challenge that takes way too many practice hours, but it's totally worth it. A successor of Paganini from the next generation named Ernst from Austria wrote a famous set of variations on The Last Rose of Summer, where he has the melody plucked with the fingering hand while the bow plays arpeggios, which is taking things to yet another level. And I decided to do neither of those things, but to in fact play the melody with the left and right hands in canon, which to my knowledge had never been done before in a piece like this. So that was kind of fun to, you know, add one more little trick to the arsenal of what violinists can do.